The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Fools everyone, gets out of the pocket, throws it, finds his man, it's DeSean Jackson at the 20, another Washington first down, 18 yards as Griffin manufactures the play, Posluszny coming with the pressure, and now Griffin looks like he's hurt.
He's hit, and he is wincing in pain, and down is Robert Griffin III.
Yep, that's the story, ladies and gentlemen. That's it right there. Down is Robert Griffin III. Not the fact that the Redskins won 41-10 yesterday. Not that it was the game that they needed, the performance the offense needed in front of the home crowd for a great home opener. That's not the story. Not the fact that the defense looked like men against boys with 10 sacks. That's not the story. The story is Robert Griffin is down. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings in studio with Kevin Stanfield. You can email us, ffr@federalnewsradio.com. Kevin, the story of the game, RG3 is down.
It's got to be. It's the story of the game. It's the story of the NFL, actually. It was a strange thing because no one wants to see this kid get hurt. After what he went through, after seeing him in pain in a Seattle game, no one wants to see him get hurt again. And I know for a fact he worked really, really hard with the rehab. And he feels he has something to prove because even with everything he did in his first year, what's stuck in people's mind is that last year.
Exactly. And you used a good word there when you said strange. Here's my story about the injury, that there's two things that make this really kind of ironic, I think, is a good word to use. As much as he is being taught how to stay in the pocket to protect himself, not to run, and even when he does run or gets outside of the pocket to slide or to run out of bounds, this was a non-contact injury. And so as much, you know, is being made of him protecting himself by not running and by getting out of bounds, he's running out of bounds. And he makes this kind of weird across his body throw. But it wasn't a contact injury that did him in this time.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The game started out with him running that read option. Now, you've heard rumors around town that he told Shanahan he didn't want to run anymore and they didn't want to run that play. And all that play is what brought the team to the playoffs two years ago. That is what put him on the map. Mm-hmm. And I think he feels that he has something to prove to himself, to the fans, and to the league. Interestingly, he completed the pass. He made something out of nothing, which is an RG3 play. Which there was nothing there. Right. He scrambled. He pushed off on the guy, stiff-armed the guy, jumped up on the air with a dislocated ankle.
Across his body.
And completed an 18-yard pass. Right. Now, everybody can't do that.
No, exactly.
And, you know, it also brings into question, this is a side note, the condition of that field.
Right.
A non-contact injury. The guy just hurt, dislocating his ankle, just jumping up in the air. I'm not saying that's what happens. Just one of those fluke things. I'm going to go way, way back right now. Sonny Jurgensen. I know a lot of you listeners remember Sonny Jurgensen. Sonny Jurgensen ruptured his Achilles tendon handing off to a guy.
Right.
Yeah, he just handed off and just walked away from the play and ruptured his Achilles. So it's one of those things that happened. I feel really sorry, but I was very encouraged by the chance of RG3 as they were wheeling him off. It's like that, the guy was in tears and stuff. But fans know the effort. Yeah. They saw the effort. Well, I think they appreciate that.
And that brings me to the second irony in the whole situation is that this was at least seemed to be shaping up to be just the game that he needed. I mean, it was early in the game, but he was off to a hot start. I mean, 2 for 3 for 38 yards, 2 runs for 22 yards. This is exactly what I think he needed after the struggles of last year, after the preseason struggles and then last week's struggles. It seemed like the offense was going to get things together. Jacksonville was just the right team to kind of get a rhythm against, put some points on the board, and he seemed to be on track for that early, and then next thing you know, the ankle gets dislocated.
Hey, don't forget that deep pass to DeSean Jackson, which should have been ruled a catch. It was perfect. Mm-hmm. Picture perfect. That's what people were looking for last week, but Houston was smart enough to play too deep and so far deep to not allow that deep pass, but it was there early. They found it, they took it, and they connected on it. It was just a fluke play that the guy fell on Jackson afterwards, after he had maintained possession and was lying on his back. It was just a fluke thing that the ball was knocked out. That should have been a completion early. They hooked up early. That's why I was saying last week was a preseason game. These guys haven't played enough in live situations to get their rhythm and their timing. Mm-hmm. I see great things in the future here once we get past these unfortunate injuries.
Wow, that's interesting that you say that. Now, again, the Redskins win yesterday 41-10. And look, feels like a great win, and we'll have George Wallace, WTOP sports reporter, coming down to speak with us in the second segment, and we'll ask him about the locker room vibe with RG3 and DeSean Jackson and some other guys getting injured in this game. But the question now, of course, around town is going to be, look, if Kirk Cousins peel off 3 or 4 wins, or even impressive performances like he did against Jacksonville, do we have a legitimate quarterback controversy on our hands? Now, this show is recorded earlier on Mondays, and so we don't know the full extent to RG3's injury, how long he'll be out. But I imagine he'll be out at least for, what could amount to be about, a month and a half, maybe 2 months, maybe even the entire season. We don't know just yet at the moment that this show is being recorded. But if Kirk Cousins put on a great performance in those games, win or loss, but the offense can move and can score, do we have a legitimate quarterback controversy here?
Not to me. This team belongs to Robert Griffin III. This is his team. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins is a backup quarterback. It's Kirk Cousins' job to do what he did yesterday. I'm not saying he didn't do it well.
He should get rewarded for doing his job.
He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's doing what he's supposed to do, because if he couldn't do it, we see Colt McCoy. So right. Let's not get crazy. He did it effectively. But I think the Jacksonville Jaguars helped a little bit too, because they stopped blitzing, for one thing. Mm-hmm. When they were blitzing, Robert had the rush. He got sacked on the first series after that, the next play, I believe, after that long pass was ruled incomplete. Mm-hmm. And but Jacksonville is not, I mean, it's not like that they were the Houston Texans.
Right.
They stopped being aggressive on defense, and it gave Kirk Cousins time to throw. And right. Someone forgot to tell them that Niles Paul was on the Burgundy and goal, and they were supposed to try to stop him, too. I mean, he was wide open. The touchdown pass to Darrell Young.
Mm-hmm. Wide open. No one even close to him.
So you got to credit Kirk for hitting the open people. Now, I'm not taking anything away from him, but he's still the backup quarterback, and this is RG3's team.
You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. You just talked about Niles Paul. We talked about Kirk Cousins. I think the second headline, to be honest, Kevin, is you could almost entitle it the replacements. You look at Kirk Cousins, 22 for 33, 250 yards, 2 touchdowns. Niles Paul in place of Jordan Reed, 8 receptions, 99 yards, and 1 touchdown. Andre Roberts and Ryan Grant getting some playing time because of DeSean Jackson going out with a shoulder injury. Andre Roberts, 4 receptions, 57 yards. Ryan Grant, 5 receptions, 57 yards. The guys who were supposed to step up, it was truly a next man up effort yesterday.
Yeah, and I have to give Bruce Allen a lot of credit, too, for the philosophy and the mindset he developed on this team when he was putting it together. Now, in regimes past, it was like when the starter went down,
there was no
there was nobody. We just had to put somebody in there because we need to put 11 mm-hmm. guys on offense or something. But these guys looked at it, like you said, as an opportunity, and they seized the moment. Even Niles Paul last week seized the moment. He had that unfortunate to fumble, but he redeemed himself. Like, sure. Redemption was the order of the day yesterday, and I think that they're looking good, because when you have depth, mm-hmm. when you have depth, you can fight through injuries, because injuries are part of life in the NFL.
Right, and that's the thing. Yeah. In the NFL, no one's going to go through an entire season without any injuries. I mean, you're lucky if your quarterback plays every single game, the entire length of every single game. That hardly ever happens, and you're going to face some kind of struggle, some type of trial, some type of injury. To a marquee player, and you have to have individuals, and no one expects your individual to step up and be as good as the starter. I mean, no one expects Ryan Grant to be DeSean Jackson. He's just DeSean Jackson is DeSean Jackson for a reason. But you need guys who can come in when someone goes down, and you can truly have that next man up mentality as far as the team is concerned. But I do want to address one thing that you said. I mean, with the Kirk Cousins situation here, I don't know if Kirk Cousins wins that there won't be a quarterback controversy once RG3 is ready to come back, especially if it's this season. I mean, if he peels off a couple of games and they're in the playoff hunt and we're getting towards the end of the year and RG3 is ready to come back, I'm not sure if the move would be to put RG3 back in the game if the team is rolling with Kirk Cousins.
No, I don't think that they would press that if they're on a roll, because that would be to their advantage. They have the opportunity then. They have the luxury, if you will, of letting RG3 fully recuperate. I mean, there's no need to push him and risk further injury. It's if the team is on a roll, that you got to leave Cousins in. If the team is struggling, if there's a chance that there's still some playoff possibilities, you might want to look at bringing Robert back. Mm-hmm. If the team is struggling and there's no playoff possibilities, Colt McCoy is going to pay you too, right?
Right.
You know, we got to see what he has. But sure, it's an opportunity. This is Jay Gruden's first year.
Right.
And actually, if you look at it realistically, it's a rebuilding year.
Sure.
I mean,
sure,
you went from a 3-win season. Mm-hmm. Anything is gravy, right?
Yeah.
You know, and but as true fans, like I am a true fan, your hopes are set high, right?
Sure. You reach for the
optimism,
yeah.
Super Bowl, right? We beat Dallas a couple of times, knock off Seattle, yeah. Uh-huh. Start with the Eagles, yeah. So, but let's like I said, let's be realistic, Colt.
Kirk Cousins
did exactly
what he was supposed
to be doing.
He did exactly what the team drafted him for in the same draft when they got RG3.
Right.
He did the same thing that they kept him on this. He did what they kept him on the team. They could have traded him this offseason, but they didn't because they wanted that insurance policy. And that's exactly what he was yesterday, an insurance policy that when RG3 goes out, you can still beat a team that, quite frankly, you're supposed to beat. You're better than Jacksonville. And he was able to come in and beat that team.
Yeah, they're way better than Jacksonville. It's kind of amazing that Jacksonville, someone else had a theory. I had an email earlier that said it was probably that ugly two-tone helmet that was throwing.
Yeah, they looked like an Arena League team or a Canadian Football League team. Yeah.
I was trying to figure it out. Can you tell where they're coming or going or whatever, right? let me bring up one point, though. Mm-hmm. And that's, they're a bad team because they have a lack of veteran leadership that will hold them together when things go mm-hmm. bad. Last week, they had a 2-touchdown lead on the Eagles, and there was one play that didn't go their way, maybe a 4th-and-1 or something, I don't recall, but they sort of lost it after that.
Right.
Yesterday what happened was Hearns dropped that deep pass. He was wide mm-hmm. open mm-hmm. on the play-action rollout. He dropped the deep pass. The air just went out of their balloon right there. They were no more good after that. So a young team will do that. So what we have in Washington is we have the makings of a very, very young team. You saw with the youth that came in after the veterans got hurt. But instead of deflating when Robert got hurt, they sort of
rose to the occasion. Yeah.
They said, we're going to have to win this one for Robert and for Kurt. And they did. Let's see if they can just keep it up next week.
Right. Now, you're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Kevin, let's give out some grades, man, for the offense, defense, and special teams. For the offense, I'm just going to give them an A because this was the best I've seen the offense in a couple of games, especially throughout the preseason this year and a few games late last year. But what I wanted to note is that they ran the ball. Alfred Morris, 22 carries for 85 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now they're back on track. So I'll give the offense an A for of course, Kirk Cousins doing what he did, but they ran the ball effectively.
You know, offense is so much, and defense, but offense particularly is a matter of will. You have to mm-hmm. will yourself to be better than your opponent because he's just right. as big and just as strong and just mm-hmm. as fast as you. And a perfect example of that was that dive on the goal line by Morris when the guy read it perfectly, launched himself into the hole as Morris launched himself into the hole and delivered
best
quite a blow.
Yeah.
But the blow that Morris delivered was just enough
just
to get
enough.
Him over the end
mm-hmm.
zone, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I agree with you on that and totally.
Now, what's your grade for the defense? I give the defense an A. I mean, we read through those numbers. 10 sacks. They only allowed 8 first downs and 25 rushing yards. You're going to win a majority of your games if you hold your opponent to just 25 rushing yards, only 8 first downs, and you get 10 sacks. And there was a stretch there, I believe it was in the third quarter, where Kerrigan got those 2 back-to-back sacks, where I was watching and I'm like, this looks like just grown men against high school boys, the way Kerrigan was out there getting those sacks, man. 4 for Ryan Kerrigan yesterday. So I give the defense an A.
Just because of what you said, grown men against boys, I can't give them an A because it's like college students taking an elementary school class, right? You know, I will give them
because it's Jacksonville, you get a B for an A quality performance.
Jacksonville still, like I said, with a deep. I think that deep pass changed the game, but I'll give them a B. I give maximum effort. That's Jason Hatcher, another feather in the cap of Bruce Allen. He mm-hmm. seems very effective. I don't know why a team in the shape of Dallas
would let a
guy who's very effective. And that's mm-hmm. something that this team hasn't had since they've gone to the 3-4. Somebody to disrupt things from the middle. Once mm-hmm. you do that, the edges come free. And you got to give these guys credit. The secondary. You got to mention Rambo, though. I hate to bring that up. Sure. I don't think this kid took geometry when he was
because he's not getting those angles right.
He doesn't get those angles at all, man. We can't figure it out. We need to send this young man to a trigonometry course or something. But he played well, but it's just he has that lapse. I think that they will be very happy to see Brandon Merriweather come back. Mm-hmm. But they just need to keep working with this kid. He's got to be a work in progress. He's not ready to be a starter yet. But,
right.
You know, he comes back. He doesn't quit.
Right. Yeah, there you go. And that's good. Well, look, you're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. We know it's not the main story, but a W is a W, 41-10.
Yes,
the Redskins open up the season at home with a home opener with a win against Jacksonville again, 41-10. Yeah, RG3, that's the main story. We want to talk RG3's injury. We want to get a feel for the locker room. And then coming up in the last segment, we'll do some emails and we'll take a look at the NFC East and preview the Redskins against the Eagles. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. Normally in this segment, we'd have WTOP Redskins reporter George Wallace with us, but he's unable to be with us today. A couple technical difficulties, but that's okay. He was at the home opener yesterday, watched the game, got some good analysis, but also got some good sound from some of the players and the coach. Again, the Redskins with a 41-10 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Looked really, really impressive. RG3 hurt in the first quarter, dislocated ankle. As of now, as we record the show, we don't know the extent of the injury or how long he'll be out, but George Wallace was able to get some good sound with him, and RG3 talked about the injury and exactly what happened on that play.
I did it before the throw to Deshaun. I was trying to stiff arm Puzlesny, and my ankle got caught in the ground, so I just kept it off the ground and made the throw. And I just, when I got off the When I landed, I wanted to look at my ankle because I felt something. And when I looked at it, it didn't look in a great position. So I kind of knew something was wrong then. So I just called the trainers over.
And yeah, that's got to be, you know, pretty frustrating. I mean, when you listen to it, and you brought this up, Kevin, earlier in the last segment, when you talked about the field itself, to say that, man, I dislocated my ankle because my foot got caught in the field. And it wasn't as if he was doing some kind of fancy juke move or anything. He was basically running towards the sideline and getting ready to throw a ball, something that he does all the time. And so for that to happen, that's got to be really, really frustrating. And speaking of frustration, RG3 went on to talk about his emotions after the game as well.
Yeah, I mean, you never want to get hurt. You want to be out there and be available for your teammates. And it was just an unfortunate situation because it wasn't on a hit or anything. It's just something that happened. But, you know, in moments like these, you just got to keep the faith. You know, stay with it and just believe that everything happens for a reason and God has a plan. So aside from that, you know, when Deshaun came in there, we had a chance to watch the game like fans. And it was good to see everybody go out there and play at a high level.
And that's a good attitude to have, man, because I know it's got to be just bothersome when you're such a competitor and you had such a great season 2 years ago. You hurt your knee and there's all these questions surrounding whether you were healthy last year and you struggled last year. And some of it may have been because you wasn't 100%. Then you come back this year and this is supposed to be the year that we get back to year one where you're 100% healthy. And then in the second week, in the first quarter of that game, you dislocate your ankle and you can't be out there. And it's not because you were running outside the pocket and someone hit you and you weren't sliding and getting out of bounds. You were doing what you've been told to do, and then you still get hurt because, as he put it, his foot gets caught in the turf.
Yeah, you know, when you're a warrior, when you have that warrior mentality, you want to give your all for battle, not for yourself, but it's for your teammate too. And like I said, the the social media blitz that has been against RG3. I think personally, this is me, I can't prove it. I think the last regime has something to do with it because they use social media as a weapon. I think that that inspires him and might get in his way a little bit. And I think that as long
because he pays too much attention to it.
Yeah. But the main thing was that the reaction that he got from the crowd, once the crowd realized it was something serious, the crowd didn't know what was wrong. They just knew the guy was down. And if they're like me, they were just assuming it was his knee. And but the support that he got from the crowd that had to be overwhelming. You know, it just had never been in that circumstance. Mm-hmm. But like I said, tip of the hat to the Burgundy and Gold fans.
Yeah, and I bet it was overwhelming. I mean, because again, like you said, with you know, these players try to isolate themselves from what they hear in the media and what fans say, but it's hard to when it's in the newspaper, when it's on the internet, when it's on social media, when it's on the radio, when it's on television. And he hears the talks about Kirk Cousins waiting in the background and some folks saying they should start Kurt and he's not learning the playbook fast enough and Kurt's ahead of him right now. He hears all that stuff. And so for him to get injured that way and then hear the fans chant, you know, RG3. I bet that that was overwhelming, and I'm sure that it did mean a lot. But speaking of Kirk Cousins, RG3 did say that it was good to see Kurt and the rest of the guys step up when he and DeSean Jackson went out.
Kirk did a great job. Offensive line protected him. He threw the ball well, and all the playmakers out there were making plays. And it was good to see our defense get 10 sacks. I mean, I don't know how many times you see that ever. So that was real exciting.
So, yeah, he gave props to Kirk Cousins and the offense and the defense, and they did play, very well. And one other thing on the injury front, RG3 did talk about the pain and the pain that he felt from that injury.
Yeah, I mean, it's an excruciating pain, but I think any time, you know, you look at your ankle and it's in a different direction, you're probably not going to try to get up. So I was just trying to make sure I wasn't doing any more damage to it. So I just stayed there and I waited for the trainers to come and help me get up and get on the cart to go get the x-rays. So, you know, like I said, we're thinking positive.
So that was Robert Griffin III, again, wishing the best for him. George Wallace also had a chance to speak with DeSean Jackson, and he talked about this injury being a familiar injury for him.
I mean, I had it before, an AC sprain, but, you know, this one was kind of a little vicious. The pain right on the bone and things like that. So, you know, it's day to day. You know, hopefully I can get back, you know, for practice next week, big week next week versus Philly. So, you know, we're just looking forward to, you know, getting treated and doing the things I need to do every day, you know, even tomorrow coming in and, you know, getting my treatment.
Now, he's right. It is a big game next week for the team in general. I mean, being 1-1 again, Philadelphia playing later on tonight. They could be 2-0 or 1-1. And so the Redskins can try to get some good ground in the NFC East with a win next week against the Eagles. But it's also a big game for him because it's a homecoming of sorts. You know, he wants to probably play in this game. And he talked about his wanting to play next week.
I mean, it's still early, but, you know, I say day to day, you know, where I feel now, is, you know, the pain's eased up a little bit. And, you know, I look forward to coming back next week and playing. Obviously frustrating not to finish the game out and, you know, go out there and battle with my teammates. But like I said, we still got the win, so I feel good about that.
And so, yeah, it definitely still feels good to win even though you get injured. And sometimes I wonder about that, Kevin. Like, I mean, you know, sometimes, and that goes to being a team player. I mean, even though you're not out there and you get hurt and you want to be a competitor, you still want your team to win. And, you know, sometimes I think that winning atmosphere sometimes make the pain or the injury feel a little less burdensome because the team's winning.
You know, if you're a true teammate, you know, a lot of guys in the thing for their stats because their salary is based on stats. You do want to see the team do well. You want to see, and fortunately, they're in a circumstance now where guys that they came up with in training camp, guys like Ryan Grant and Aldrick Robinson, whose job was on the line when camp started, they had an opportunity to come in and produce. Pierre Garçon didn't have a great game. He wasn't targeted a whole lot. So you know he's going to want to come back strong. You know that DeSean wants to come and show strong for the fans in Philly. But it's a thing now where the team isn't forced to put him out there if he's not 100%. Right. It's an opportunity for some other guys to step up. And it's about opportunity. It's about seizing the moment. If not with this team, it's about putting someone film for the other teams in the league to say, hey, I'm of the caliber that I can play in this league.
Right.
And, you know, I just had a chance to show the world.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see what Gruden does. If Deshaun, will he play a 75% healthy Deshaun Jackson or 85%? Or is he going to wait out and say, look, it's still early in the season. Let's get you healthy and get you ready, you know, at 100% for that stretch towards the end.
I'm going to go on the limb here and say they would have to amputate both of his legs to keep him off the field next week. There's nothing that's going to keep Deshaun off the field next week.
Well, one thing's for sure, I don't think he's going to want to sit in the locker room like he did yesterday and watch the game. He talked a little bit about sitting back and watching the game with RG3 in the locker room.
End of the day, it's very frustrating for us not to be out there because we love to play this game and go out there and, you know, compete and play at a high level. So that was the biggest thing. We was just, you know, good feeling to see our boys win, though.
Good feeling to see him win, but I want to be out there participating in the win. So, yeah, that's Deshaun Jackson. George Wallace also was able to speak with Kirk Cousins. By the way, you're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings with Kevin Stanfield. And so Kirk Cousins talked about the fact that, hey, he has to be ready whenever his number is called to play.
Yeah, just the life of a backup quarterback. You got to stay ready for when an opportunity comes and be able to help your football team. And I was glad that we were able to get the win today, and you know, I was able to help us get there. So that's the job I've been in for 3 seasons, and just trying to make the most of it every opportunity I get.
And there are, and that's really what we talked about earlier. That's what he's drafted for. That's what he was kept during the offseason, not traded for. That's why they placed such a high value on him. It wasn't the fact that other teams didn't want to trade for Kirk Cousins. They didn't want to give the Redskins what the Redskins thought Kirk Cousins was worth. And no earlier than 2 games into the season, he proved his worth coming in relief of RG3, so who hurt his ankle.
You're saying that the people who are taking their RG3 jerseys and changing the number to a 12, so they're going to be Cousins, they shouldn't do that initially. Yeah, Kirk knows that he's a backup. I'm sure he wants to play.
Oh, yeah, of course.
There's two kinds of backups in this league. They're the kind who want to start. Right. They're the kind who are happy to be collecting the paycheck, you know.
And Kirk wants to play.
He wants to play.
But he's handled this whole situation, even from the day he got drafted. Knowing he was drafted to be a backup, he took it all, you know, in stride and with class. I mean, he's not going to come out and say, I'm glad he hurt his ankle and now I get a chance to play and I just won this game and the offense scored 41 points and I should be the starter. Yeah, he's not that kind of guy. He's not going to do that, you know. Right. And so I expect him to say, you know, I'm the backup quarterback. It's the life of a backup. You just got to be ready when, you know, when you're called to play. But it is interesting, you know, when you are just, you know, you've got the clipboard on. I always wonder, how ready are these guys to play? You know, you say, I've got to be ready because the next play can be the play. But then when you see RG3 hurt his ankle, you're like, wait a minute, it is my turn to get out there now. And he talked a little bit with George Wallace about his reaction when RG3 got hurt.
It's the same reaction if you ever feel like you have to go in. You got to go get your helmet. I think the first thought is, where's my helmet?
Exactly.
And the next thought is, I better get my right shoulder loose. So, you know, you always say, where's my helmet and where's the football? And where's somebody to catch that football? And try to get warm as fast as possible.
What is it, who, me?
And go in there. Your heart starts beating a lot faster than it was 10 seconds before.
Because that's got to be a weird feeling. I mean, it's got to be like, you know, you're watching the game and you always have to be ready. But then when you see the guy go down, you're like, wait a minute. Am I going to have to go in now? So should I get ready? And it's like, okay, well, where's my helmet? Where's the. Yeah, that's.
You know, I wonder if they do drills like this sometimes when the guy's helmet says, come on, you got to go again. Never mind. Just joking. Just to get him ready, just to get their frame of mind. But it takes a special mentality to know not only when you're going in and you're not just going into, it's not like a baseball pitcher, they'll allow you so many minutes to warm up before face your battle.
You got to be ready to go.
And they're ready for you. Interestingly, when a team prepares, a lot of times they're not ready for the backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. They're prepared for a certain skill set, like, right. You know, and then they're not quite ready. So a lot of times you'll see a backup quarterback come in and shine, you know, because of his ability, but also because of the inability of the defense to prepare for him. So
absolutely.
Kirk did his job.
Now,
did it well.
Now, again, you're right about that. He definitely did it well. And as a matter of fact, he completed his first 12 passes, and he talked about playing with that type of efficiency.
Yeah, that kind of efficiency goes back to play calling. You know, if you call the plays that give you a chance to get completions and get a rhythm going, it always puts you in a better place. So I got to credit Jay and Sean for that. And then when you have that kind of efficiency, that's a total team thing. Guys are catching the football. Guys are disciplined in what they're doing. And all I have to do is execute and throw to the open guy.
He knows how to answer questions.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, it was the coach's staff.
Great calls.
Great teams. Yeah. People caught the ball.
He ran a great route, and you know.
But he couldn't have asked for a better start. I mean, you know, to come in the game, RG3 gets hurt. Again, it helps that you're playing Jacksonville, and then to go 12 for 12. I believe first pass was a 20-yard touchdown. So you know the start that he had, you know, couldn't ask for a better one.
Yeah. Again, the key word for me today was confidence. And success builds confidence. He succeeded. He did what he did his job. He did what he was supposed to do. His teammates did their job in support of him, doing what they were supposed to do, and it came out as a tremendous victory.
One more clip from Kirk Cousins, backup quarterback. Just playing. Because I don't want Kevin to get mad at me.
You know, we all know what Kurt is. No. He's
backup quarterback for the Washington
Redskins. Starting job.
Who's actually starting indefinitely until we know when RG3 is coming back. He talked about how starting in the past, last year and a few games in RG3's first year, helped him out with this game.
Right. Every time you go out there, you gain confidence and you gain experience. And, you know, when I do have to go in there and I'm saying, where's my helmet and where's the football? The fact that I've been there a little bit in those three games last year and done it for a few weeks in a row, it does give you confidence. And you say, hey, I've been here before, good or bad. I've been here before. And this isn't the first time. So that does help.
So, yeah, so all the experience, like you said, good or bad, winning or losing, because he had some, you know, wins that first year. His first start against the Cleveland Browns came in and had a heck of a game there. He had to come in and relieve of Robert Griffin against the Ravens the week before.
Which was a critical game.
Which was a real critical game. And then he came in and beat the Browns. But then his performance at the end of last year, he didn't win any of those starts. And so he knows what it's like, you know, to win, to lose. And so, again, that experience, like you said, good or bad, goes to help.
I'm willing to give him a pass on last year because the overall atmosphere of the team toward the end of the year was dismal.
It was all bad. Yeah.
It was very dismal. So much he could do. But this is a new day, a new season. You got a bunch of guys who believe in him and a fan base here that's willing to support him. So, hey, Kirk, go get him.
Well, I'll say this. You and I are on opposite sides of this, but, you know, if he plays well and if he's winning and they're rolling, I think we may have a quarterback controversy. I know it seems like 2 years ago, this wouldn't have even been in anyone's mind that they would be a quarterback controversy regarding RG3. You know, he's the guy. And even earlier this year, I mean, while people talked about it in the preseason and stuff, I don't think anyone, you know, could blame the coaches for there not being any kind of open competition or any kind of controversy. But if he's playing well and the offense is moving the ball and they're on a roll, I don't know. I'm open to the fact that there could be some quarterback controversy here in D.C.
Hey, this man went out throwing the ball on a dislocated ankle, completing the pass and getting the first down. He's got heart. He's my starter. They're going to leave Kurt in as long as Kurt's effective. Colt McCoy, you better get ready because you have to be asking what your helmet is next. When Robert comes back, he's going to have to learn from what Kurt did, and he's going to have to be ready. So if there's any good thing that can come out of somebody being injured, it's the fact that it's going to have to make everyone around them step up.
Absolutely. And thank you, George Wallace, for providing that sound for us in the locker room after the Redskins win 41-10 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Coming up, we're going to talk about the NFC East, going to review the Cowboys' win, the Giants' loss. Again, the Eagles play tonight against the Indianapolis Colts. We'll preview the Skins-Eagles game next week, and we'll read some of your emails. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.
He's hit, and this is what happens when you're on the sideline. You get out of the pocket. Okay, if you're going to throw it as the defender's closing in, you got to be able to take the punishment and take the hit. And he is wincing in pain. And down in pain is Robert Griffin III.
Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Yeah, that's CBS analyst Solomon Wilcots and Spiro Dedis or Dedis. Not really sure how to pronounce that last name, but that's what the call. The funny thing about that call, and we'll get into it because someone emailed the show about that. We received an email, Kevin, from Mo. It says, hey, guys, so we got to clean up the crew of announcers and refs for this game. Usually I recognize at least one of the guys in the booth and lead official on the field. Not today. Well, the announcer blew a few, and when RG3 got hurt and had to leave the game for his ankle, the booth crew first said it was the right knee, which was false. Then the left knee, again, which is false. Eventually, a producer whispered in their ear that it was the left ankle. Honestly, guys, I knew it was the ankle by the way it twisted on RG3's last step and by the way he kept it extended. Also, I think the fact that there was a brace on, also could kind of give you a clue.
Yeah.
That would have been a great coup for the network, but alas, just the ankle. Other than that, the booth crew was decent. Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, and not only that, it's left knee, right knee. I mean, obviously it was the ankle. But you just heard the call there talking about that's what happens when you get out the pocket and you run. You got to be able to, you know, quote, take the punishment and take the hit. There was no hit.
Was no
like,
hit.
What are you talking about? Like, and you're watching the game. You're there. You're supposed to be giving, you know, what are you talking about?
Yeah, you're Solomon. Supposed to be helping us decipher what's happening,
right?
You know, but, you know, he was right. It was an injury. He was right about that part of it. The rest of it was kind of strange.
RG3's hurt. He was right there, and that's where the accuracy.
I tell you what people should do. They should do like I did yesterday and follow George Wallace on Twitter because George was at the game and he was tweeting, and that's how I found out. So by all means, follow George on Twitter and Facebook, and you get the real information that way.
You know what's one cool thing to do now, and I only started this really once we started doing the show, and I started doing it with the preseason, is I'll watch the game, and unless I'm unclear on something, I'll cut the television down.
Yeah, turn it on.
Because I don't want the announcers to influence what I see and how I feel about what I see, you know, because they'll maybe make a comment and I'm not thinking about something in that way, and it will kind of persuade me to kind of lean towards whatever they're feeling. But I like to listen to it now in silence and kind of take my notes, unless there's something that's kind of odd and I'm not understanding what's happening, I'll turn it up. And that's kind of cool to do. And follow George Wallace on Twitter.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. And another good point the emailer made was the penalties yesterday. It was just so many flags, and it was so many on both sides that starting from the long pass to DeSean Jackson, it was like a flag. It was at least one flag on every series. It's almost like these guys were enjoying their face time. They say, okay, is my good side showing? Or something, right?
And that's been the story in the preseason about how the league was going to be tougher, especially on cornerbacks with touching these receivers. And they're going to be tougher with things like illegal hands to the face and stuff. And you're seeing a lot of penalties. And there was talk in the preseason as to whether or not there'll be less calls just because they're trying to get the players used to how they'll be officiating. But even around the league, I mean, you watch different games, there are a lot of penalties happening right now.
Yeah, what about this one call where on the punt return where the guy in the Burley and Gold's name was Taylor. They called him for unnecessary roughness because it was a helmet-to-helmet hit. And the guy didn't call a fair catch. And it was a clean blow. It was form tackling. What they teach you when you're tackling, to tackle, don't lead with the top of your head. Lead, put your face mask in the chest of the receiver. Now, if the guy you're tackling is 5'7", right. and you're 6'4", right. you know, you bend down as much as you can to get him in the chest.
Well,
right?
That's a good point. I mean, even when you look at running backs or quarterbacks, when you're coming for those guys and then they kind of duck their heads or something just to try to avoid the contact or brace themselves for the contact, it's easy to see how you can have a helmet-to-helmet collision when you didn't intend for the helmet-to-helmet collision. When these D-backs or these linebackers are going down to hit a running back and he ducks his head to brace for the contact, I mean, it's easy to see how that happens. And so, I think there's got to be more discretion used by that. And at every helmet-to-helmet contact, everyone's not trying to spear someone or leading with their helmet just because the helmet hits, you know, another player's helmet.
I do want to apologize to the guy's mother for not remembering his name because I know she's listening, right? I'm sorry. I'll do better homework next next time. But yeah, the official was a little bit flag happy yesterday, and it ruined, not ruined the game, but it sort of took something away from what was a great victory for the B&G yesterday.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a look at the rest of the NFC East really quick. So let's see, Dallas improves to 1-1 after a 26-10 win on the road at Tennessee. Tony Romo, 19 of 29, 176 yards, one touchdown. It seemed like the same thing that the Redskins did this week. Dallas did the same thing. I mean, the commitment to running the ball, 220 total team rushing yards. DeMarco Murray, 29 carries for 167 of those yards and one touchdown. Dez Bryant, 10 receptions, 103 yards, one touchdown. And the defense stepped up, two sacks, two interceptions, got some turnovers. So a win for Dallas there. So they and the Redskins both 1-1. The Eagles play tonight with a win against Indianapolis. They'll go to 2-0. With a loss, they'll go to 1-1.
The Cowboys have some talent. You can't deny that. Right. They have some talent, especially on the offensive side of the ball. The question coming into the preseason was the back surgery that Tony Romo had. As much as I hate to say this, being a loyal fan of the B&G and you know, taught from birth to just despise Dallas with the passion of a red hot sun, I've always liked Tony Romo. I like the fact that he came in as an undrafted free agent and seized the moment.
Right.
He's had that mobility. He's had that knack of making a play, making it happen.
And nobody comes back from disappointment and criticism better than Romo. It's almost as if he's not affected by it. You know.
Well, the fact is, he gets so much criticism,
right?
So much disaster, so many disasters. And, you know, if he can ever get over that hump of winning a big game, maybe years down the road, it won't happen this year. But I like Tony Romo. I like Dez Bryant. And DeMarco Murray, who can't, I mean, he is a workhorse. He almost set a record yesterday for carries for Dallas. And he does it quietly, you know, never any trouble or anything.
Talent has never been an issue, it seems, with this group of guys. I mean, you know, obviously back in the days when Quincy Carter was playing quarterback, talent issues. But with Romo, Bryant, Witten, Murray, you know, talent's not the issue. The big issue had always been the defense, you know, number one. And recently, the coaching. I mean, anytime you've got so many consecutive seasons with an 8-8 record, I think there's something there with the coach. For some reason, he can't get you to win some of those closer games that you have to win to get you into, and especially with two of those 8-8 seasons coming down to the last game, whether or not you can get into the playoffs, and just losing those games. I mean, I think that comes down to the coach, not necessarily the talent there. But again, here they are at 1-1. Pretty much they'll do this seven more times and they'll end up 8-8 this year. And so they don't have to play the rest of the games. We know what's going to happen. They'll be 8-8 by the time this year is over anyway.
Always.
And the Giants, they dropped to 0-2, losing at home 25-14 to the Cardinals. Here's what's interesting. The Giants led in all the important categories. They had more total plays. They had a longer time of possession and more total yards. But they also had four turnovers. Eli Manning just keep a turnover machine right now. Two interceptions out of those four turnovers, and the Giants lose again. They drop to 0-2.
Eli has absolutely no help. I mean, he has Victor Cruz on the edge. Their running back situation is the same as it was in Washington. It's, I guess, whoever gets dressed first will be their running back. But the running back position on a team that traditionally has had tough, productive running backs.
And you don't have to look too far back to find when they were running the ball rather well. We're talking maybe three or four years ago.
Yeah, Ahmad Bradshaw, you know. And, of course, you let him go. You need a productive player, and you let him go. That's, I guess, with the age of free agency and not wanting to pay the players. But it's kind of sad. But you never count the Giants out, because just when it looks like Coughlin's going to get fired and there's going to be a revolt in the locker room or something, they end up winning the Super Bowl. Right now, they're not looking too good. But let's not count them out just yet. It's still early, right?
No, absolutely. And so, and again, the Philadelphia Eagles, they play the Indianapolis Colts later on tonight on Monday Night Football, and they also are the next opponents for the Washington Redskins. Now, Philadelphia, Kevin, what do you feel as though the Redskins have to do? What's interesting is that when you look at the Redskins offense, and with everyone healthy, I mean, if DeSean Jackson were to play in RG3, and you got Pierre Garçon, Alfred Morris, a team with a lot of offensive weapons, Philadelphia is exactly the same. They've got a ton of weapons over on their offense.
Yeah, and a good scheme that was brought in by Chip Kelly, good imaginative scheme, the high power, high motion, quick offense doesn't allow the defensive time to separate and to scheme. What it's going to come down to me is one guy's ability to play football against another guy, because it's not going to be an opportunity to scheme, because Chip Kelly's offense is designed to confuse the defense and hit the open man on the quick pass unless the long pass becomes available. And that's a good thing if you're playing offense against a guy, a team that uses a lot of schemes and packages. And wait a minute, I think we do that. Wait a minute, we do a lot of series needs-based substitutions. So it might be a problem.
Right.
What they're going to have to do is lock up. They're going to have to lock on the man and stay with your man and need some pressure up front. Don't give Nick Foles a chance to read the field, read and react. You're going to have to dictate to Foles where the ball is going to go. And you're going to have to... you're going to have to play some ball, because, you know, these guys got some talent. You got McCoy and Sproles coming out the backfield. The linebackers are going to have to play their best game.
No, absolutely. And then on offense, I think the offense can help the defense out by sustaining some long drives, converting on third downs, and by flat out running the ball.
Man, if we had a running back that was good, we could probably... Wait a minute.
We do. use the horse. Look, if you learned anything from the difference between week one and week two, Alfred Morris, was it 14 carries in week one? And still had, I believe it was 81 yards.
Right.
Week two, 22 carries, 85 yards. Run Alfred Morris. Make Philadelphia prove that they can stop them. Control the tempo. And Kirk Cousins, he can make every throw, but he can also manage the game. He seems like he's comfortable with the playbook. He's comfortable out there in the pocket. He's comfortable running the offense. Manage the game. Run the ball. Keep the defense off the field as much as possible. Keep the ball away from Chip Kelly's offense as long as possible. And give your defense a chance to kind of rest from what is a fast tempo, fast paced offense that Philadelphia's bringing, that Philadelphia has. Skins going to Philadelphia to play the Eagles.
Now, you know, DeSean Jackson, despite the injury, he's going on the show.
He wants to play.
And he wants to make a statement. You know, it's only natural for a guy to want to do good against a team that let him go. It's only natural. But I think the injury, is, if there's such a thing as a positive thing that we gain out of an injury, I think that will calm him down enough to know it's not just all about him, and it's about a victory for the Burgundy and Gold. But I'm personally hoping it does well, because I didn't like that whole media sensation that was involved in him leaving Philly about the leaks about him having gang ties. And you had never... The only thing you ever heard about DeSean Jackson was he wanted more money, you know, contract negotiation. But you never heard anyone say he was a bad teammate. You never heard anybody say that he was disruptive in the locker room. And I can't see what a philosophy would be to say that a team is better off without a guy with the talent of a DeSean Jackson. So I'm quite curious as to see the reaction of the Philly fans. And, you know the Burgundy and Gold fans are passionate. The Philly fans are, I don't want to use the word crazy, but if there was the word I could use on the radio is a slight step below crazy. That's how I describe the Philly fans. So I'm quite curious as to the reaction he'll get when he returns to Lincoln Financial.
Yeah, you're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. Let's close out with a couple of emails. One that I have here, Sean in D.C., Kevin, wants to ask the question that you knew was coming earlier in the show. He says, is it time to finally get rid of Bakari Rambo? The one touchdown is his fault. Answer it, Kevin.
No, not quite. Not quite. The time is coming, though. But not quite. Not quite, because he's only a Brandon Merriweather dip head hit right away from being right back.
And that's the thing. And, and who knows when that Brandon Merriweather, it's like you know it's coming. You know, and it's like you're not sure what he's thinking. I mean, it's like he gets into this mindset that he has to, you know, hit these players in a way that you know is going to get him suspended. And sometimes it's not even him. I think sometimes when you have that reputation, officials look out for you. So now he's got this reputation maybe around the league where officials are like, okay, this guy Merriweather, you've got to look out for him because he has a reputation for doing these kind of things. And so anything that even looks like an intentional helmet-to-helmet contact or personal foul hit, that they'll call it on him and he'll get suspended or something.
Maybe we can get Sylvester Stallone to come back there. We need another Rambo. That's what it is. Not just Rambo.
Not Rambo.
I'm going to give him one more chance because he obviously can play football. It's just that, you know how sometimes there are pitchers that like lose it bit like, remember, I don't know if you remember, Rick Ankiel, for some reason, just couldn't throw the ball at the catcher. But then he went to like center field and became a great outfielder, right? You know, maybe that's the thing with Rambo. It's just that he loses that moment and the geometry of the situation is lost upon him. So maybe we need to change his position, bulk him up, make him a linebacker or maybe a punt returner so everybody's in front of him so there are no angles. But it's something that it appears to be correctable, but you would think they would have corrected it by now if it was possible. It's something and it just came out of nowhere. It's interesting. Interesting.
Another email from George and Laurel. He wants to know, Kevin, do you believe that the Redskins defense can be a top 10 defense in this league?
You know, one thing I saw yesterday, I saw confidence building. Mm-hmm. And so much of it is confidence. You got to believe that you can stop the other guy. You got to believe that you're better than him. And no matter how fast he is, how strong he is, you got to believe that you're better. Sure. And you know, a 10-sack game will help boost you.
And that's the thing. I mean, I think if this defense is going to be anywhere in the top of the league, we know it will be because of that front seven. It's going to be because of the pressure that defensive line is able to get on quarterbacks. And Ryan Kerrigan with 4 sacks yesterday. Jason Hatcher providing one. Seems like they've got some players up there on that on that line. Now, if they can all stay healthy, then maybe we've got something going on as far as the top 10 defense in the league.
Yeah, you had, what's his name, Kierski? I can't pronounce his name. He comes off the bench and gets it. I didn't know he was on the roster, right? So, yeah.
They'd be a top one or two defense in the league if they play Jacksonville every week.
Who would? But, yeah, I wrote that down in my notes yesterday. When I see the confidence building, you got to believe in what you're doing. You got to believe. If the coaches tell you to do it, they tell you to run this defense at this time, you got to believe. So you go into it, you know, all out. And so that is going to make the Philadelphia matchup even more critical because Haslett's going to have to pull out something out of his bag of tricks because we see the Chip Kelly offense has been effective. Mm-hmm. And last year, it was a surprise when they saw the offense for the first time. This year, they got film. They got their own film. They got the film of the Jacksonville game. And come on now, Jacksonville's scoring 14 points. Jacksonville had a chance of winning this game and just had a late collapse. With the Indianapolis game is going to be a true test of how this Chip Kelly offense is going to last in this league. And like I said, I personally believe you're going to have to go to more of a man-oriented offense. Keep your man in front of you. Don't let your man beat you. Every man stick with his assignment. And, you know, hey, mano y mano. If you can beat me, you can beat me. If you can't, you can't. So it's going to be really fun.
Well, the Redskins win yesterday over the Jacksonville Jaguars 41-10. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. Thank you so much for listening. Kevin Stanfield, what a great show, man. This went past quickly. The hour goes past so fast. Philadelphia's up next. And hey, after that win in Jacksonville, are we ready to say Super Bowl yet, Kevin?
I was ready last week.
Did you buy your Super Bowl ticket?
I'm a fan. I believe. Hey, and best wishes to RG3.
Yes.
Yes. As a fan, we're pulling for you. You know, I know people in the industry. I know people tell me how hard this young man is working. And I believe it and I see it. And I want to give a tip of my hat to the Burgundy and Gold fans yesterday because I've seen situations where players get hurt and it might not be the player you're wanting. Fans actually cheer the injury, right? But when they had that chant rise of RG3 when they were rolling the kid out yesterday, the tears came through his eyes. Yeah, hats off to you, Burgundy and Gold fans.
That was tough. Well, that's the show for today. We'll talk to you next Monday for week 3. We'll wrap up the Philadelphia Eagles game and preview week 4 for you. And until then, you can email us FFR@federalnewsradio.com. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.